I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I got here a little bit late. I had no idea there would be you two playing when I got here. That's unacceptable. And I apologize to every CITR listener out there who probably, if they heard this, felt like their heart broke just a little bit. Anyways, I'm sorry about that. What was that? Anyways, that was yeah, I don't know what the Soweto Gospel Choir. No, I was pretty sure it was you two there. Let's check the disc. Okay, never mind. Let's forget about that. So I just grabbed something off the shelf here. Common Market is, I'll read the little blurb on them because they're always so funny. As leaders of the exploding Seattle hip-hop scene, Common Market, MCRA Scion, and producer Sabzi, also of Duo Blue Scholars, unleashed their debut to much critical acclaim. Already named Seattle Weekly's 2006 Best New Artist, featured on KEXP, playing the Sasquatch Festival and sharing the stage with the likes of The Coup, Ghostface, KRS-One, and more, Common Market is an undeniable debut. Well, yeah, it's their first album, so of course it's undeniable. So, anyways, oh, here's a good one. We're going to hear Sucker MCs by Common Market here on CITR 101.9 FM. You listen to I Like the Scribbles, going until 2 a.m.-ish this morning.
You got your game face on, but deep down I know you wish they wasn't playing that low posting. Got you going through the motions, full of golf, fumbling the ball to where the players at. Junior varsity's no match for the big son. Champion the car, stop stressing that division. Titles are petty and already you display traits of greatness. Take this vote of confidence as a catalyst for armament. The strongest men win, packing the consciousness of self-worth. Developing personally to see the purpose is more than letters on a shirt. Silk screen, revolutionaries are come and go. Esteemed visionaries, most are never known by name. Some came just to walk through, but if you wanna be a Tupac too, son, I got you. Ayo, step to the side when it. Ayo, push from behind. It's a long road to travel, take time to look around. Some avoid the water but still manage to drown, but something tells me that it's a reason to believe in these kids. I feel a leader's here in our midst. Don't be afraid to raise your fist like this. But you all about the real talk, so for both. Now it's exposed when you peel the bark back. Hard is the shell for the skeleton. When the mind roams, it grinds bones into gelatin. And so my weapon of choice is the power to choose. Use it like a knife, slice, strife in two. Standing over, sew the strands to the coat of many colors. Man, you're gonna need it with this band of brothers. And what they teach you about the discipline. And what they teach you about living in an era where the sentiment is rarer than a sin up in the tenement. Did they mention that or weren't you listening? It's time you form your own opinion on life. And when you finish, I'ma lend you the mic. Supply the insight, shed light, shine bright. That's real talk, dude. If you wanna rock, I got you. You gotta step to the side when they try to push from behind. It's a long road to travel, take time to look around. Some avoid the water but still manage to drown. But something tells me that it's a reason to believe in these kids. I feel the leaders here in our midst. Don't be afraid to raise your fist like this.
Actually, it wasn't that bad, I guess. That was no short memory today. That was Common Market from Seattle with a track called Sucker MCs. Coming up next, something a little different. Actually, totally different. This is an album by the Dielectric Field Recording All-Stars. Basically, it's 10 artists put together like an audio treasure hunt or something. And this is a compilation of the tracks they got. So it's mostly field recordings, I believe. Yeah. I'm just going to play it now. This first track is actually kind of funny. It's called Making a Recording, Go Away, Please. Okay, I'm just going to take that back. apparently, the CD player doesn't like this one. Yeah, we're going to have to switch this. I apologize for the unprofessionalism. And unpreparedness I'm demonstrating here tonight. Basically, well, actually, those are basically hallmarks of my show, so here we go.
Com check. Com check. 81, loud and clear.
82, loud and clear. Over.
34, loud and clear. Over.
Thank you. catching it. I thought. Yeah. I think so.
They had mine open too.
Thank you.
4.02.
3402, entering 562.
United 1572, descend and maintain, follow level 280.
31280, United 1572.
American 2026, climb maintain, follow level 330.
330, American 2026.
American 2026, contact Indy Center 124.77.
2477.
United 1572, Chicago 124.82.
2482, United 1572, good night.
Yeah.
Falcon 500 Alpha Fox 370.
500 Alpha Fox Trot, Indy Center, good evening.
Indy Center, connect 56, please 330.
Connect to 56, Indy Center, welcome aboard.
How's it going down there?
Thank you. Let's see what you can make of this.
Yo!
I just wanted to get your attention if you're there. I'm living in a paranoid, delusional fantasy. I think I may have taken too much acid. It may be a good idea to get rid of any illegal drugs you have or that your friends may have in your homes immediately.
That indeed is the ultimate sacrifice. To sacrifice one's life
here in the United States, to Palestine.
Sacrifice Korea. Sacrifice the world to Bush's war on Iraq.
Assembly. If you remain in the area, this is just described. Just here, assembly grant. What? Regardless of your purpose and your meaning, all your violations are just. Please get.
Looking closer, we see...
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM, I started playing an album called Re-Record by the Dielectric Field Recording All-Stars, and it was so good I just had to keep playing it. Every song kind of flowed into the next perfectly, and I just haven't really been able to stop it. Anyways, there's about 20 minutes left in the show. There's 16 minutes left in the CD. So, I mean, this is pretty much my show right here. Anyways, check out the album, it's pretty good.
Public display of giant portraits of communist leaders. These leaders, by their actions, have caused the world to stand guard. Here, in Russia, you see the reason why so many nations are building up their defenses. Here, in Russia, you see the reason why we are spending billions of dollars in defense production. Why your family is paying the highest taxes in our history. this show? Or are they ambitious for world conquest? Question. A question on it. Ever hear of Karl Marx? In his mind, communism was born more than 100 years ago. He looked at the world and saw men as divided into two classes, workers and capitalists. In the Communist Manifesto, he called upon the workers, the proletarian, to rise up and overthrow their capitalistic masters. He cried, "The proletarians have nothing to lose but their skin. They have a world to win. Working men of all countries, unite." This was the promise and the challenge of communism. In Russia, the Tsar was the government. To support the wealthy aristocracy, millions of peasants toiled in virtual slavery. The Cossacks, dreaded police of the Tsar, enforced tyrannical laws. Here was fertile ground for the ideas of communism. For here, indeed, the people had nothing to lose but their chains. The chains of the imperial government. In 1914, the Tsar sent his troops into the war that swept Europe. For more than 2 years, they fought. While at home, people suffered from shortages, brought about despotism and corruption of the imperial government. The people grew rebellious. Only a strong army could sustain the Tsar in power. But revolution was preached on the battlefield, too, to an army broken with corruption. Inevitably, the Russian army surrendered. And with the defeated army returning under the banners of revolution, the imperial government fell and revolution reigned. The chains were broken, and in violence was born the government of the proletarian. But a government needs leaders. Ever hear of Nikolai Lenin? He was the first leader of communist Russia. Leon Trotsky was another. Lenin lived but a few years, and out of the vicious struggle for power that followed his death, Joseph Stalin emerged as undisputed leader. Here was a new face, but in the background was an old one, Karl Marx. He established the ultimate aim of communism as world revolution. And the rulers of communist Russia, while firmly establishing their authority at home, created an international organization to stir up revolution throughout the world. Communism was on the march. Stalin was in the Kremlin. But what of the people? The proletarians who had fought to win a new world. Their new world might look promising, but although the land had been taken away from the capitalists, the workers didn't get it. Under communism, virtually everything belongs to the state. The individual has little right to own property or to plan his own life. He's told where to work with his employer. Little freedom to leave his job or seek a better one. Whereas we believe, and our religions teach, that the individual is all important, communism denies religion and debases the individual to a part of the vast machine that powers the state. Children are taken early and molded to fit the machine. Here is no search for truth. The government writes the textbooks, and the children are taught to accept communism and their fate without question. The Kremlin runs all elections, and the outcome is always the same. If anyone dares to disagree, he's given a speedy trial without benefit of jury. Such traitors may be immediately executed or sent off to prison. The proletarians have nothing to put their chain. They have a world to win. Although people of Russia gained little, the rulers gained mightily in power. They built up a giant war machine, looking forward to the day when their flag would fly over the entire world. Then came the rise of Nazi Germany, another power bent on world conquest. The two nations joined forces, and Russia, believing itself safe from aggression, launched an invasion of Finland and other neighbors. For the first time, the world learned that the communists were no longer waiting for world revolution, but were now resorting to outright military aggression to extend their power. After the Nazis turned on their former allies, we supplied Russia with immense quantities of military equipment to wage war against our common foe. And how did Russia come out of the war? In 1917, at the time of the revolution, Russia was already a land of vast area. Soon after the end of World War II, Russia had occupied many new territories, bringing additional millions of people under communist control, and serving notice that Soviet Russia was now a world power to be reckoned with. United with Russia in war, we strove to preserve that unity in peace. We helped organize the United Nations, in which the nations of the world have mutually pledged to cooperate in fostering world peace and progress. Andrei Gromyko signed for Russia. But in the first post-war Italian elections, the communists created disorder in an attempt to gain control of the government. Once more, the world was reminded that basic in the idea of communism is the plan of world revolution, and that Russian communism has stepped beyond that plan to achieve world domination through aggression. In Indochina and Malaya, communist aggression has incited rebellion against established government. In France, communist aggression has fomented strikes against essential industries in attempts to discredit the free government. In Iran, the communists have incited rioting and have preached hatred and distrust of the Western nations. In eastern Germany, they have openly opposed the West. In China, the communists have established their own puppet government. In Korea, communist aggression has come into actual combat with forces of the United Nations. And with the most deadly of all weapons available to the Russians, no peoples in the world can feel secure against this aggression. How are we meeting this challenge? Yes, one way is by helping the free world fight starvation and poverty and suffering, conditions that pave the way for communist infiltration. We are also supplying equipment for the free nations to develop their own resources and raise their living standards. Another way we are meeting the challenge is by military alliance with some of the other free nations for mutual aid in opposing direct communist aggression. And we are building up our own military defense. But do these preparations mean that we have abandoned hope for peace? No. In the United Nations, we are continually seeking a workable plan for living in peace with communist Russia. Because we want peace. But we do not want this. We believe in freedom. Freedom. Born of the conviction that every person is a child of God and is therefore of supreme worth. For these people, for ourselves, for everyone, we want freedom, not tyranny.
Let's have our little meeting. Do you want to identify yourself?
I'm just talking. Yes, my name is Benjamin Battle, Assistant District Manager, Goodyear.
For a brake adjustment and to have a stoplight switch repaired. Someone at the other end of the line told me that they were busy that day. I could bring it in the next day, they'd be able to get it out. I brought it in the next day. I called that morning to confirm, and they said, fine, if I bring it in, I can get it then. I dropped the car off approximately 1 o'clock. Have time to wait. I left the car, saw the service manager, who was very busy at the time. He was unloading tires from the truck. He said, I want to have my brakes adjusted, put the stoplight switch on, do a good job, and I'll see you later. And took off. I returned at about 6:30, and I see my car is up on blocks, the wheels are off, the brake drums are apart. I said, what the hell is going on here? And they look at me like, you know, what's going on? And they tell me they're doing a brake job. I said, brake job? I want a brake adjustment. Look at the car. The side is bashed in. The tie rods need repair. The springs are sagging. The windows are broke. The upholstery is shot. What kind of brake job in a car like this? This should go to the junkyard. There was a Gene, who was, I presume, the service manager, according to the little nameplate, and a Ron was on the shirt, another fellow working on the car. I told him, stop the job, let's find out just what's going on. They gave me a bill of what they had done and what they were doing, which amounted to approximately $72. I complained about wheel bearings because I had just had wheel bearings put on the car May the 13th and showed them a check that I just paid to have wheel bearings put on. I questioned if it was necessary or what. Gene came back and said what he would do. They would either stop the job, put the wheels back and leave it alone, or they would complete the job. I was thinking to myself, well, I can stop the job because I don't want to put any go into the car, but the truth of the matter was I did not trust the men in putting the car back in proper condition. So I felt I'd just to see, let them go through with the job and finish it. They said they would leave the price of the wheel bearings out and charge me approximately $60. I said, finish the job, I'll be back at 8 o'clock. I came back and the car wasn't ready. And I intended fully to come back and pay him the $60 and put a stop payment on the check and then have it out with Goodyear directly. As it was, I got back the next morning. I had to have the car. I was going away on vacation. I wanted to leave it with my girl. When I got there the next morning, Ron Gary was the gentleman that I had talked with. Ron identified himself as being assistant manager. I explained the situation to Ron. Ron looked in his book and he says, I'm the one that took your original call, and he showed me in the book, brake adjustment and stoplight switch repair. He says, you know, he understands there's some problem here. What would be a fair way to handle it? I said, will you tell me how you think a fair way to be handling it? He indicated if I paid him strictly for the parts, nothing for the labor, would I consider it fair? Frankly, I was on my way out of town. I wanted to get the damn thing taken care of. I said, fine. He ran an adding machine tape. It came to something like $36 and change. I gave him a check, and that was it. Now, I could have put stop payment on the check. I could have charged the darn thing. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to have the time or the trouble, and I just dropped the matter right then and there. They did not have the stoplight switch. Gary said they would be ordering it, and I should stop back. When I left town, I instructed my girl to stop by, number one, and drop off some parts that I had taken along. I wanted to have them inspected. And part two, to have that brake light taken care of. She parked the car there. I'm not sure exactly where she parked it. She pulled it in between two parked cars. Left instructions with someone that was going to the brake light switch and took my daughter across the street. My mother-in-law happened to go across the street. And when she got back, they had pulled a third car behind the old, blocking it off. I don't know exactly what had happened, but the gist of it was, is Ron said something like, you owe us some money and you're not getting your car back. She had some third party, some stranger, help her push this other car away that they parked behind the old. She backed it off and she left in a huff. When I got back from out of town, she had told one of my associates that she didn't have the car taken care of and she wasn't going to go back there. She was afraid. Tuesday evening, I was picking up my mother-in-law, who happened to be across the store, and it was raining, and there was some woman with her who I didn't know. I was thinking of a ride because it was raining. She was talking to my mother-in-law. We were driving by, and I passed the Goodyear store, and I saw the service manager standing in front. So I stopped, pulled into the lot, and asked if they got the service switch. And the exact words that were exchanged, I can't repeat, I'm really not sure. The gist of it was, is that I screwed him out of some money. I pulled a chintzy deal on him by going over his head and settling for less than he and I made a deal. And it was basically an abusive type of conversation. He then proceeded to open my car door and said, if you step out here, I will kill you. And if there weren't any people in the car, I would kill you. And I, with that, I pulled my door shut, I started the engine, and I drove off, and I said, I will have your job. I got home and phoned your store. I talked to the manager and explained the situation to him. The manager commented to me, he said, we really expect you to put a stop payment on that check. You were quite a gentleman not to.
told him that I was going to turn this over to my attorney. I called my attorney that evening. It was in between the time that he'd be traveling from his office to his home. I waited for him to get home. I called him. I pointed out exactly what happened. I said, what shall we do? We have a threat here. We have a false imprisonment of my car. We have perhaps a civil rights problem since they abused my color of maid. We might have a fraud where they bucked me up on their price. I don't know what the hell we have, but I sure as hell know we've got something. What shall we do? He said, well, the first thing you could do is go to the local police station, swear out a warrant for him, and charge him with a criminal act. That will mean they will pick him up, they will take him to court, and the judge will probably put a $100 bond in instead of date for trial. $100 bond means he'll have to put up $10. He may and he may not get himself a lawyer. If he gets a lawyer, the lawyer will come in the first time and continue it. He might come in a second time and continue it. All these times he will have to be there to be there at the time to trial. I said, all right, Jerry, what if I just put the little scare in him and just take out the warrant and just have to show him? Please give him a little scare. He said, then you may be charged with false arrest and leaving yourself open for a civil suit. I said, okay, we'll drop that. What should we do about a civil suit?
Crazy or not, well, let it never be said that a mere chorus girl defeated a member of the royal family. He tries climbing in her window, but he's a little drunk. She runs out, locking the door behind him. It's true he slept in her room, but she slept in his apartment. The time is the following evening on a Paris street. Again, you play Dorothy.
Good evening. Did you drop something?
Me?
I want to thank you for last night's hospitality. I had a wonderful sleep. That is, until 6 o'clock this morning. Yes, I was awakened by a man knocking at your door. Persistent fellow. I kept quiet. I didn't say a word. A gentleman never does. Finally, he said, I know you are there. Oh, no, it's not a lie.
At this point,
no.
We will admit.
Well, he gave me a message for you. If you don't pay me 30 francs, you're not going to get any milk tomorrow. Couldn't have you starving, so I paid them. Tell me, why is that policeman heading our way?
Were you given an opportunity to examine the condition of the parts prior to the process?
It's just a little lover's quarrel, officer.
Were you given the opportunity?
It's quite all right.
Yes,
now. We've
I
made it.
Showed it to me. As far as the serious condition, I frankly looked at it. I couldn't see where those brake bands were so worn.
If you hit me, I'll call the police.
They are not more than 1 year old with a 40,000 mile guarantee on them.